This episode, we'll be discussing the films Long Shot, John Wick Volume 3, or Chapter 3? Chapter 3.
Parabellum.
Parabellum. And Booksmart. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com, or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or look for us on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe, or head on over to Facebook. Search for The Hodgepodge Podcast. Like our page. At the box office this weekend, John Wick.
$57 million, $58 million.
Yeah, something like that. Dethroned Avengers in its fourth week. Avengers had been number one all the way up until then. Fighting off all comers.
Including that rascally Pikachu.
Yes, yes. I think they came close?
It was within $5 million, I think.
Was it? Yeah. I couldn't remember. Yeah, so Avengers is, how much did you say it was?
100. It's about 173 behind Avatar globally now.
For worldwide, yeah.
Worldwide, yeah. It's still, I think it's 176 behind Force Awakens
for domestic. But it'll never make $176 million dollars more domestic.
No.
I think that record is going to stand for a long time.
Yeah.
Force Awakens almost made $1 billion domestically. That's insane.
But of course, then that's kind of all it made. I mean, that was like literally half. No, well, not quite half. It was like 48%, right, of the market.
I think so.
Right.
I don't know if it's that much. Because the international is huge. It's made over $1 billion internationally, obviously. Whatever.
Well, yeah.
Whatever. Because it's made 700 something here so far. But it's clearly the number one movie of the year.
Nothing. I'm sorry, I was talking about Force Awakens.
Oh, Force Awakens.
Oh, yeah. For the 40,
right.
40.
Right. It's, yeah, yeah, it was. It,
Endgame is roughly 29% of the market is.
Right, is here. And then the rest is overseas. Yeah. Yeah, Star Wars has always been more of a U.S. thing and less. I mean, it's popular.
It's getting bigger now.
But it's less so than Marvel stuff. I guess the big news is Game of Thrones ended last night. We were planning on doing an episode.
And that's literally that it's over, not the episode itself.
Agree to disagree. We were going to do an episode later. I don't know if you want to be a part of that or not, since you hate it.
I probably could not lend much.
Since you're the guy to hate watched it for 8 seasons. But we were talking about having our friend Andre on, because he's a huge Game of Thrones fan, so his insights would be interesting. Maybe we can get Chris on there, too, because Chris has been debating
with people. He can't not say something when someone says something bad.
I know. He has to lash out. This season was definitely choppy as fuck. They rushed it. They rushed the whole last two seasons. But I did enjoy the finale. I thought the finale had a nice ending to it.
Our friend called it.
Yeah.
Jen, she said she said it's going to be Bran.
She said that.
Everyone else laughed at that theory.
Right.
It made perfect sense.
I mean, in the context of the story, it makes sense.
Right.
It makes sense of that.
I mean,
that they would want
since
him.
What season one, he's literally been sitting on his throne.
Anyway, the throne that... Wait, did Tyrion build that for him? No, Tyrion built the horse thing. And the other thing is, too, so, there's a football player named Dante Stallworth who made the call of what was going to happen to Arya because she said it two seasons ago.
What, just goes off exploring?
Right, because she said it to the actress lady that found her when she was hurt, and then she nursed her back to health, the lady that she saved from the lady who was trying to poison her.
I mean, it was weird, but it also made sense.
Yeah, because she literally said to the lady, I would like to go see what's west beyond Westeros. And
it makes sense for her character.
Right.
There's
no sense for her to stay.
Initially, I was like, you've spent how many seasons just trying to get back?
But
it was for a reason. That reason was done. And her, she's a rebellious.
Well, yeah.
Curious type
of
person.
She's a free spirit.
So, yeah.
But it's not just that. She tried to get back. But then when she thought her whole family was dead, she just said, well, now I'm going to go over here and do this. And then she was going to go straight to the King's Landing when she found out that Bran was alive and Sansa was alive.
And a whole bunch of other names I don't know.
And then so that's why she ended up going back. When Ed Sheeran told her. Wait, was it Ed Sheeran? I think it was Ed Sheeran.
Sure.
Fucking
Ed Sheeran.
But no, yeah, the finale, I enjoyed the finale itself. The season was pretty choppy, but...
I mean, it just, the imagery that they invoked in this last episode should have been the imagery that they were invoking in at least half a season. Full season.
Yeah.
Like, of the whole Third Reich element.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That should have been something that built up to.
Right.
You know, not just something they threw in the last episode and just splattered it there.
Right.
A lot of people were like,
where did she get that banner from? And I'm like, it was a sail from her ship. The ship sails, the actual banner,
the Targaryen flag.
Yeah, but the ship sails were Targaryen flags.
Yeah, because they made a point to show one of them sailing away.
Yeah, yeah. Some people just don't fucking pay attention to shit. They just like, yeah, give it.
Anyway. Well, you'll save that for
yes, but episode. But I mean, ultimately, it's still a great series. I mean, even though they didn't exactly stick the landing, not to you, but to a lot of people, it's a great series, and it showed that fantasy, the fantasy genre can succeed on television, as long as you get the right cast and you get, you know, a studio or a company that's, you know, amenable to putting money behind it, basically.
Well, that's really all it needs.
Well,
I'm just saying, look at Walking Dead.
That's true.
That is a genre that should not hold
on
network television, but yet somehow, even with its crappy storylines, it just keeps going.
And you know, and of course, you know, the source material was great too that they drew from.
Yeah, well, that's why this last season fell apart.
Yes and no. Because
they basically had outlines as opposed to...
They probably worked backwards. Yeah, they probably worked backwards from the ending, which is why the final episode was good, and then the rest of the season was kind of like, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So... Oh, and then the other big news, I can't believe we forgot to mention this. Now, there's been a report that's kind of disputed this a little bit.
Oh.
But... Right. The news coming out of Variety is that Robert Pattinson is going to be the new Batman. He hasn't signed the deal yet. He's about to work on Christopher Nolan's new movie, but he hasn't signed the deal yet. The other person that other sources are saying that is in the running still is Nicholas Holt.
Look, either way, it's Batman. It's going to be fine. And people. Every single Batman they've thrown on the screen, people have...
Oh, yeah. I mean, everyone's had a problem with it. And there's only been, like, two really bad Batmans.
Yeah, whether legitimate or not, it doesn't matter who you choose. Everyone's going to go nuts. Nuts, come on, you want to get nuts?
God, that was the worst. I will say that Pattinson will probably be a better brooder.
He'll be a lot darker. Yes, absolutely.
But the thing is,
not physically though, because physically he'll shimmer.
Jesus. And if you only know Robert Pattinson from Twilight, you need to go check out his indie movies he's been doing lately.
But still, watch Twilight.
No, don't watch that.
Masterpiece.
No, don't watch that shit. And the problems with Twilight are not his fault anyway. It's because, like we were just talking about Game of Thrones,
that was written.
The source material was garbage.
The source material was. Was fucking porn fodder for it was basically fan fiction type.
No, you're thinking of 50 Shades of Grey.
I know you're thinking of I'm saying it kind of was like a little fan fictioning. I don't mean like it literally.
Wait, wasn't it like a Harry Potter thing she was writing, and then she turned it around? I can't remember. Oh, yeah. I know that's a story for 50 Shades of Grey. That lady.
Oh yeah, that lady. That's what I'm saying. That literally spawned from
Twilight.
from
it was Twilight fan fiction. Then yeah. she changed
which, the which names. To me is like fan fiction coming from fan fiction.
But what I'm hoping is that both those guys are pretty lean guys, so I'm hoping that if they cast either one of them, we finally get like athletic looking Batman who was like in the 70s, like Neil Adams is Batman, and I hope they put him in the blue
Adam West.
No. The doughiest Batman.
But man, could he dance.
Yeah, sure. So I hope they put him in the blue and the gray too. I would love to see that too, as opposed to just the all black as
usual. And they you know, they tried to go a little gray with
Ben Affleck. Affleck.
But it'd be nice to see that just the blue traditional, and the gray,
And then the rumor is that the villains are Penguin and Catwoman, which I guess is fine, but I'm like, why are you going to do that again since they did Batman Returns? But the best Catwoman is Anne Hathaway still. She was fantastic in Dark Knight Rises. Michelle Pfeiffer was good in the role, but that wasn't Catwoman. That wasn't Selina Kyle. That was lady dressed up like a cat.
And again, terrible, terrible script.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And then the Penguin, Danny DeVito, was the last time they did the Penguin live action.
And that, again, was not the Penguin.
No. That was Tim Burton Monster
that
Mash.
That was so far from the Penguin that I can't even begin to... I'm like, what?
Paul Rubens' character as the father looked more like the Penguin than Danny DeVito did. But, again, I liked what Danny DeVito did with it. It's just that it was a Tim Burton movie.
Right.
Batman Returns was a straight-up
Tim
Burton
movie. Nothing about it was traditional with traditional Batman characters.
Right. But that's the big news. So Robert Pattinson is more than likely going to be the new Batman. That movie is not coming out until 2021, I don't think. And apparently Patty Jenkins saw a rough cut of Wonder Woman 1984, and now she's pissed that they moved the date back because she wants to put it out now.
She loves it that much.
Huh? Yeah, she likes it that much. She wants to put it out.
That's good news.
Yeah, it is. I'm hoping that's going to be really good. Because I like Shazam a lot, and Aquaman I liked better than you and Matt, but it wasn't great by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm hoping Wonder Woman 84 is going to be great.
I think I have high hopes for it after the first outing was
right.
Especially given that it was a origin story.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into these movies. We'll start with we'll go in chronological order. A movie that apparently now you can barely find in theaters, unfortunately, even though it only came out like 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, I guess, is Long Shot, which stars Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron.
Really weird, especially given that star power.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I was looking
marketed at all.
I was looking at Fandango or something like that, and like the Crossroads had like I was looking for Brightburn, you know.
Can't wait.
And
that's
Thursday
for this weekend.
And I was not Aladdin.
I'm fine.
My
whole new world will be Brightburn.
I'm interested to see what they do with Aladdin, but at the same time, I'm like, none of the trailers have compelled me to go see it. So it's a weird situation. But anyway,
Never had a friend like me. Well, actually, we have. We did have a friend like you back in 1993, 94,
92.
Yeah,
maybe.
We have.
His name was Robert Williams. Yeah. And you know what? I mean, not to get off on a Aladdin tangent, but you know, Will Smith he's damned if he doesn't, damned if he doesn't.
Oh,
you know, so
course.
It's like, yeah,
it's not his fault. I'm
yeah,
not. I mean,
yeah,
this is my rail against this whole
having to redo
unoriginal, just redoing everything just because it's live action. No, it was great as animated.
Yeah,
sure, you can do the live action now with the technology, but do something fucking original with that technology, for God's sake.
That's a thankless job he's got.
I mean, I'm sure,
and he's looked good in the trailers.
I'm sure Jon Favreau will direct the hell out of The Lion King.
Yeah,
but
it's probably much like a shot
but
for
shot. It's
remake.
Like fuck. I don't care.
Yeah. So anyway, back to Long Shot. Anyway, what I was getting at is that Fandango had Long Shot. This is like for Thursday or Friday. Has Long Shot for like one goddamn screening. And I'm just like, that is a crime because
it's a really
funny movie. This movie's hilarious. It's really funny.
I feel like. What marketing they did do with it, they didn't They didn't know where they wanted to market it or who they wanted to market it to.
This movie should have come out in the fall. Yeah. It should have come out around, even though I don't think there's any significant elections this year. I know we have one here because of that runoff, that special election, because that guy tried to steal the election and now he's not running. But they should have put this out like in the fall, like around election season or something like that, because why in the fuck would you put this out the weekend after Avengers when you know Avengers is going to make a shit ton of money and it's just going to...
It overshadowed everything.
It overshadowed everything, exactly. So this definitely got lost.
It's a funny movie.
It's really funny. Yeah. The movie centers on Charlize Theron, who is the Secretary of State for a very... He's Trump-like, Bob Odenkirk, because he was a celebrity, and yeah. Then he became the president. Right. But I would say he's more like George Bush. He's more kind of dopey, like George Bush, George W. Bush,
yeah.
Than evil like Donald Trump. But he's the Trump allegory is very much there. Like he's
very narcissistic.
Yes, yes.
He's only cares about himself.
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah.
But you. Odenkirk plays it well.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, yeah. And so he's going to tap her to be the next president, and he's going to endorse her. So she starts her campaign, and she's idealistic. And that's the other thing that I didn't understand either. Like, how is she with this guy if she's so, like, this idealistic liberal, basically, and he doesn't seem like he's that at all?
I would say it's the same reason why they do it in real life, right? You're trying to pull in people from the other side, so you throw in this centralist,
yeah,
you know, middle of the road person to come right. In.
And so what happens is she needs her speeches and stuff punched up with comedy and stuff like that, and so enter Seth Rogen, who is Fred Flarsky, who that was his name, right? I know it was Flarsky. I know Flarsky was his last name.
Like that,
anyway, Flarsky. And apparently...
She happens to meet him again.
She happens to meet him again because she was his babysitter when he was like a preteen, basically. Or he just turned 13 or whatever.
Right.
And he always had a crush on her. And so she hires him to be her speechwriter. And then as they get to know each other, they start to... form a relationship, basically. And this movie's funny as fuck. It was really, really funny. Who was the woman who was her chief of staff?
Oh man, I can't remember, but
it was like June.
She's pretty funny too.
It was, yeah, she was funny too.
She's been in other things that I couldn't think of at the time.
Yeah, hold on a second. Let me pull this up. Her name is June Diane Raphael. She plays Maggie, who is Charlize Theron's basically her chief of staff.
She's very funny.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. plays Lance, who's Seth Rogen's best friend, and he's very successful. Ravi Patel also works for Charlize Theron. And Andy Serkis is in this as a Rupert Murdoch type character, and he's great. He's really good in this and his scenes. It's really, really funny. And it really slipped under the radar because Avengers was just like crushing everything in his path. So, if you can get to see it in the theater, check it out. But if you have to wait to like Netflix or something, definitely check it out when it comes out.
Yeah,
on Netflix,
it's very funny. Like it's don't, very, don't, very don't funny. Think just because you missed it in theater that it must not have been good.
Yeah, because it was good. It was just case. It was just they really fucked.
It's
up
just yeah, it's weird because it had all the markings for being a big comedy, blockbuster.
Yeah,
and it just.
And it, yeah,
they just
it just you
it
can't
up.
You
yeah.
can't you can't do that like I wouldn't say
I
that
feel,
with
I feel like they must have needed to stick it somewhere in the schedule.
So I guess
just like well I guess we'll have to put it here
because they had a real good showing. I think it was at South by Southwest. People yeah. really that's where the buzz really started on it. But I mean.
I would assume that the schedule was just full.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that for all the Marvel movies you have to do this, but for something like as monumental as Avengers Endgame, you just have to leave that second weekend empty and just forget it. You know, you just write it off as like a, sorry, we can't release anything because you know it's just going to make money, you know,
yeah.
hand over fist. So definitely check out Long Shot if you can. It's really, really funny. Let's talk about a movie That was also really, really funny, but in a completely different way. Because I was cackling throughout. We're talking about John Wick, the inexplicable John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum. I don't know how this movie is at three movies now, because it's the same movie over and over and over again. But it is wildly entertaining.
People like to see bullets.
I guess. America likes guns.
And drop kicks and whatnot.
Yeah.
But it's entertaining still. I mean,
it's an entertaining movie. John Wick 3, if you saw John Wick 2, at the end of that movie, all the citizens of New York are all assassins, and they're all out to get John Wick. And
You know what?
It's like The Purge.
I'll give the movie this. It tightened that up a little.
It did. Anywhere he went, somebody was there.
But it wasn't 10 of them.
Right.
You know, it did try to tighten it up a little.
It was like the whole fucking Washington Square. It's like he's like in Times Square. They're all fucking assassins.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves is back as John Wick. Chad Stahelski is directing again. He directed the second one. I think it was him and David Leitch, right? Or Leitch, the guy who did Deadpool 2 or whatever. I think they both directed the first one. But Keanu Reeves is back, and Ian McShane's character, Winston, who runs the Continental Hotel, gave John Wick an hour before he would make him excommunicado.
Which, by the way, should have been the parenthetical title of this movie.
Right.
Excommunicado. I mean, perfect. I don't know. Parabellum.
They basically have to explain what that is later in the movie.
Why don't you just call it excommunicado? Right. It's literally what it is.
So, this movie is... I mean, the world of the John Wick movies is just so stupid.
The first movie... lent more towards a realistic feel, if you
right.
Bear with me. Relative. And then the second
they kept
one
a lot
just,
of those, yeah.
The second one took a hard turn into turn it into like a comic book.
Yeah, and the mythology and like it's just like no, it's like this is dumb. It's like the first movie kept a lot of those elements like kind of vague.
Yeah.
And that was good. Not so in the second and third one. It's all about the high table and this guy, and I work for that guy, and this guy's the boss. Here's your coin, and this
and
this.
I got the medallion.
I mean, it's like, what the fuck is this movie? So it's dumb as fuck, but it's highly entertaining. It's fun to watch.
I mean, you don't go to a John Wick movie for plot.
Right.
Never will.
It's fun to watch John Wick kick some ass. Although I will say some of the action sequences did go on way too long. Sure. It became mind-numbing after a while.
Who was the one guy that played that cop?
The cop? Which cop?
That's a trick question. There are no cops in this movie.
Touche.
Gotcha on that one.
Touche. Yeah. Yes, you did.
Yeah, there are all these fights and gunfire, and never, ever does a cop show up. Ever. You don't even see police
lights. In New York City.
You see nothing. It's just like they don't exist. It's so funny.
Lawrence Fishburne's in this again as he shows up as the Bowery King. Lance Reddick is also in this as the concierge at the Continental. The main villain, I guess you'd say, there's two villains. There's the cerebral villain who is the adjudicator.
Yeah.
Who has been sent by the Home Office or whatever. I mean, like it's so stupid.
She's sent by the syndicate to
the high table.
The high table, as they call it, to basically
to
deal out justice for people who break the rules.
Which apparently is in the fucking Middle East for some reason, not in a tent in the Middle East. I don't know what the fuck that's all about.
You mean the elder who is barely middle-aged?
I mean, I understand what they are going with there, because they're like, this cradle of civilization, so of course this is where the high table. But you should have at least put it in like a fucking city or something like
that. How about a fucking, a castle?
Why would you have it in a fucking tent? I mean, I don't think the Transformers movies left any of those castles left. They just blew them all up. But Asia Kate Dillon plays the adjudicator. I don't understand why they didn't try to get Carrie Ann Moss for this. Because she doesn't do any kung fu or anything like that. No. And Carrie Ann Moss could have played this part perfectly. And then you would have had all
probably
three of them.
Probably would have made sense that she was older.
Yeah, you would have had all three of them in it, and it would have been perfect.
You don't know, maybe they did. Carrie Ann Moss was like, no.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But, I mean... I think she would have said yes, personally. But anyway. And then the main action villain is Mark Dacascos. I didn't even realize his character's name is Zero.
No, you don't know. He's basically John Wick's fanboy.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And he has been charged with trying to kill him. Angelica Houston shows up in this. Tagmaori was the elder. Jerome Flynn, Bronn himself, is speaking of Game of Thrones. He's in this. He has a small part. But the whole John Wick universe is basically just style over substance.
Yes.
You just go to watch it and have a good time.
The first one is kind of a legitimately good movie.
Yeah, it's a legitimately good action movie.
And the other two, in their own right, are good in that they're entertaining. They're just not plot heavy.
Yeah. And there is kind of a twist at the end of this,
which I felt like they
didn't play it
with
right.
Game of Thrones. They needed a little more setup to something because.
But I wasn't sure, like, if he was like.
I thought he was kidding at first.
Like I thought he was.
I thought maybe he was trying to. They planned this
right.
So that he
and
get
then it's
away.
Like, oh no, they didn't.
Because the whole movie was. Not the whole movie, fuck that. The whole series,
yeah,
has been partially based upon these two friendship and their respect for each other, and then all of a sudden, Ian McShane just basically, for his own self interest, turns on John Wick to save his job. Basically,
right.
It's just like all the times that he has broken the rules for John Wick. It didn't make sense. They needed to, like you said, play it different, or they needed to set it up a better reason.
Yeah, they definitely did. And we also forgot to mention that Halle Berry is in this. Halle Berry's in this, and she's barely in it. She doesn't do much. Her dogs are awesome.
Yeah,
and they sure like the balls. But yeah, if you want to go see a mindless action movie, go check out John Wick because it certainly is that.
Yeah.
It certainly
is. For what it is, for what it's supposed to be, it's a good movie.
Right. Now, let's talk about a movie that we saw on a early screening, but it wasn't free. It was just a one night only, one showing only early release, and then it's supposed to open wide this weekend. And this movie is Olivia Wilde's directorial debut, and it's called Booksmart. And this movie was fucking fantastic. It's essentially the female Superbad. Caitlin Dever and Beanie Feldstein play Amy and Molly, and they are best friends in high school. They're graduating, and it basically details the last...
The last two days before graduation.
Because this school apparently does graduation in the morning.
Yeah,
when you're not in school. It was weird. This movie was so good. It was so funny. There were a lot of writers on it, which I was surprised about. There were four writers on it. Susanna Fogel, Emily Halpern, Sarah Haskins, and Katie Silberman, and just great job all around. It's a great movie for women and women friendships and stuff like that. But it's just wickedly funny too.
Yeah, extremely funny. Just like Superbad.
It's
funny.
What happens is that Amy and Molly are nerds. Basically, they're super nerds, and all they did in school was just study and get good grades to get into college, and they did that. They accomplished that. But what Molly finds out is that all the kids in their school that she thought were just a bunch of fuck-ups They also got into the good schools, and so now she's losing her mind a little bit. And so
she's like, they got to have fun, yeah,
and they get into the schools.
Like, no.
So then with the last night, they determine that they're going to go to a party and show that these people that they are fun people, and then they have various misadventures.
These two actors, their chemistry together is great.
I mean, they're
so succinct, yeah, in the jokes and the timing.
I don't want to give any of the jokes away because it's, I mean, there's a restricted trailer that's out there right now that I just saw on Facebook that gives away a lot of jokes. Don't watch that trailer.
And Billie Lord is in this.
Yes,
and
yes.
She has a phenomenal character.
Yes.
Gigi. There's no point in giving away anything with that. But
no, and Billie,
it's just funny.
Yeah, and Billie Lord is Carrie Fisher's daughter. And she, you know, I know she...
Well, I just thought she was in that Star Wars movie for no reason.
No. It's because Carrie Fisher. I'm actually shocked that they didn't use her
as the stand-in
for Rogue One.
Yeah,
Some other actress.
I don't know why.
Anyway, so she... she's been in... she was on like at least one season of American Horror Story, but she was also on Scream Queens. That's the one I was thinking of, Scream Queens. Yeah. And she was in, of course, the new Star Wars movies because of her mother. But this movie really is like a breakout role for her because she is fucking hilarious.
She's not the star, but
she's a fantastic supporting character.
Absolutely,
in this. Great cast. You've got Diana Silvers in this as Hope. She's going to be in Ma, which comes out at the end of the month. Who else? All the kids are great in this. Will Forte shows up with Lisa Kudrow as Amy's parents. They're fucking hilarious. Jason Sudeikis plays the principal. He has a very funny scene about halfway in the movie. Jessica Williams plays, formerly of Daily Show, she plays Miss Fine, who is like the cool teacher. She has some good scenes in this. But just a great, great young cast.
It's high school hijinks.
It's high school hijinks, but it's so funny, and really I love this movie. I mean, for me, it's up there with Avengers Endgame as like one of the best movies of the year. It's so good.
Yeah, it's very good. Definitely see that
one. You definitely need to see Booksmart. If you go to see one movie that we're talking about today, you have
like
to go see
Endgame.
You have to go see Booksmart.
But if you can see two movies, you need to go see Endgame again.
Yes. Yes, we're all on a quest to try and make it win.
I did my part.
So did I. I've seen it four fucking times.
So have I.
To beat Avatar at the global box office, because no one should have to live in a world where Avatar, that wholly unoriginal piece of shit, is the top movie of all time.
Yeah, definitely see Booksmart.
But definitely see Booksmart. Like I said, it comes out this weekend, the weekend of the 24th. I'm probably going to go see it again. It was that funny. And I just love those girls. They're so funny. I would love to see the two of them in something else, you know, beyond that. You know, like kind of like what they did with, I mean, Michael Cera wasn't a huge part of This at the End, but he shows up in This at the End. It's so embarrassing.
Oh, it's right here in my pocket. It's so embarrassed.
Yeah, so that's basically it. We don't want to really spoil any of these movies, but
there's nothing to spoil with John Wick.
No,
we don't. You know exactly what you'll see.
You know what's happening
when you go to that movie.
It's basically a video game.
Yeah.
And we don't want to spoil anything with Booksmart, just the basic plot. It's phenomenal. And Longshot's really good too, so check them all out. Anything else you want to add?
Make sure to check out Endgame. So, Avengers Endgame,
and go buy my book. It's getting great reviews from the readers who have read it, and I got a really great review from my friend Barb, and she, for some reason,
don't
it would not
say from your friend.
Well, she's published author Barbara Davis. And for some reason Amazon was not publishing it, so I keep checking to see if they fix a glitch or something like that. I don't know
the reviews.
Yeah, they wouldn't publish the review. It was weird.
how are you? Oh, you still got the
like, she sent. She sent me the review. Oh, she sent me what she wrote. It's not, right, but it's not. But it won't show up on Amazon.
Amazon's fucking you up.
Yeah, they're fucking me up bad. But another reader read it and told me he loved it, and you know, a lot of people are telling me they're blowing through, which is good. It's great.
That means I hear it's better than Avengers Endgame.
It is. But yeah, so that'll do it for this episode of the Hodgepodge Podcast. And we will see you next time, folks. Thanks for listening.